This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM, and Mick, your dog's got an issue. You there?
No, I do not have a dog.
Oh, you're leaving a message about a dog?
Yes, I have a lawn at the front of my house, which currently has a message on it.
Okay, yes.
The biggest problem has been a dog with diarrhea leaving its message in the middle of the driveway.
Oh, no. Is this happening more than once, Mick?
Only once at this stage. But the thing is, I went out and got the paper at 8 o'clock in the morning. There was nothing there. And a bit later on, it was there, and we don't have any dogs running around loose in our area. Uh-huh. It was obviously on the lead with a owner.
Oh, yes.
And the owner has just ignored it.
Yes, well, let me do a public service announcement for you, Mick. If you're walking your dog and your dog decides to go to the toilet, you really should pick up after your dog. So, yeah, thanks, Mick.
Thanks very much, Mick. All right, next on the line we have Annette from Wallaroba. Where's that?
That's up between Paterson and Dungog.
Oh, there you go. I've just learned something.
How can I help you, Annette?
I'm interested in this new yearly treatment for fleas and ticks.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, is it suitable for dogs that carry the MDR1?
Brilliant question, Annette. Yes, it is. It has been tested as safe in those breeds. I assume you're talking about a collie of some kind, are you?
Yeah, we've got Australian Shepherds.
Yeah, okay. What do you currently use for fleas and ticks for them, Annette?
We use NexGard Spectra,
okay.
The monthly chews,
yes.
And we haven't had any issues.
Yes.
But obviously it's always a concern with any kind of treatment.
Yeah, definitely in the area that you are too. Couple of comments I would say. So, yes, it has been tested as safe. What I would comment on, the product that is the injection is called Bravecto Quantum. Now, Bravecto is currently and has been on the market for a decade as a chewable chew for dogs.
And Paracel?
No, that's a slightly different product. This one, Bravecto, lasts for 3 months, the chewable tablet, or a spot on for 6 months. But what I would say, Annette, is the injectable form is a much, much, much lower dose than the oral tablet and the spot on. So if you were concerned and you wanted to try it, the recommendation for those dogs is to use the chews for a couple of doses to ensure there are no side effects, and then it would be recommended safe to switch over to the injection.
Okay. Thank you for that. I was just curious.
Yeah, good question. But yes, the data is out there to say it can be used in those breeds.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Thanks very much, Annette.
Thank you.
Okay, next we've got Liam from North Lambton. Hi, Liam.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
What can I help you with today, Liam?
We've got a 10-year-old dog. His name's Trick. He's got some bloodshot eyes.
Okay.
He's had sort of a little bit of a black spot in one of his eyes for a fair few years now, but we're not really interested in any invasive or surgical treatments.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a swollen eye in about April, and we got some antihistamines and that'll settle down, but they're just becoming increasingly bloodshot. I was wondering if there's any sort of medical or non-invasive options. We're not going to go down the dog optometrist route.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right, I'll just ask you a couple of questions first. So what breed and age is the dog?
He's 10 years old and some months, maybe 6 months, and then he's a big mix of all different things, so just a mixer.
Large really. Breed dog, small breed dog?
Yeah, large breed dog.
Okay, and is it both eyes, Liam?
Yeah, both eyes are bloodshot.
Okay.
One eye has some sort of dark spots within it.
Okay.
Recommended we could get them sort of biopsy with a dog optometrist, but we don't want to, he's very fidgety and we don't want to go in.
Not after that, okay. And is there any gunk out of the eye or any discharge from the eyes?
Not really, no. Sometimes you might have a little bit of like the normal sort of eye gunk on the inside, but not to a large amount.
Not excessive.
Okay. Really bloodshot at the moment.
And how long would you say they've been bloodshot for now?
Well, he's always had the sort of dark spot in one of his eyes, but always a little bit bloodshot, but then sort of increased maybe in the last recent month or so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Look, over the phone, I'm limited with what I could suggest for diagnosis, but there are a couple of conditions, well, actually quite a few, that could be treated and managed with medication rather than referral or surgery, okay? Mm-hmm. There's some testing to do with tear production that would be my number one thing that I would want to check for him, okay? Because dogs that don't produce enough tears very commonly can have dry or bloodshot eyes, and that can be managed with medication. There are allergies as an option. There's a number of other testing to do with the pressure in the eyes that I would expect most GP vets could manage quite effectively. So I would definitely recommend you start with a vet consult, Liam. Okay.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, we're not interested in referral, or we're not so keen on surgery, just so the vet knows where you're coming from. And I'm sure they'll be able to help you.
All right, thank you very much.
No worries. Best of luck with it.
Thanks very much, Liam. Good luck. Okay, next we've got Kevin from Butterbar. Kevin, you've got an issue with toilet training.
I got this little miniature dachshund. He's about 25 months old. I'm having a little bit of success, but he's so sneaky.
Okay. Tell me more, Bob. Tell me more, Kevin.
Well, it might have a little bit of moderate success, but then he'll just sneak away and do one. It's starting to get frustrating. Is there any method?
Sure.
I've had a few dogs before, but this one, he's got me beat at the moment.
Yeah, okay. So when you say you've had a bit of success, what's the longest stretch would you say that you've gone without, that he's gone without an accident in the house?
2 days.
Okay. In his whole life, that's the longest?
Yeah. Is it the long body that causes some? Well, I can understand because they've got a long body. They perhaps missed the tray or something. I got one of those grass type trays, imitation ones.
Yep.
Sometimes he misses that.
Is he trying to go in the right spot and just missing, or is he totally
Sometimes he's trying, but other times he just sneak out into another room and leave a puddle or something, or leave his poos up the other end.
So wheeze and poos in the house?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to stop mainly.
Yeah.
Once I get him outside, he's all right, but he won't let you know when he wants to go outside. That's the problem at the moment.
To start with, Kevin, a couple of pieces of advice I'd give you. Do you have any other dogs at home?
Yeah, he's a yard dog. He's a Rottweiler.
Okay, so they're not both in the house?
No, they're not both in the house. Okay. He's the only one that's in the house, yeah.
Okay, all right. What I would suggest to start with, you have to think of him as a toddler who you are toilet training. You cannot assume that he will tell you when he needs to go. You just need to be taking him out every 30 to 60 minutes on a lead to the area you want him to toilet in, and you wait there, take him for a bit of a walk, bit of a stroll, and as soon as he's doing it, you can combine it with a command, whether it's wee-wees or toilet or whatever you want to do. If he does it, you praise him, yes, lots of treats, lots of play, and take him back inside. So you are repeatedly doing that process.
Yeah, right.
A couple of other suggestions I would give is confine him to a smaller area in the house, okay? Yeah. Don't let him have run of the house, because that makes it just so much harder to monitor, all right? Yeah. And then the last little tip for today that I'd give you is make sure that you're using some kind of enzymatic cleaner, because whilst we think the wee smell is gone, the dogs can smell it much better than us.
Is that an empathic?
Enzymatic cleaner. Most of your big pet stores will sell it, okay? Right. So there, three things to start with. So use your enzymatic cleaner, confining much more within the house and lots of trips out to the backyard, wherever you want him to go, on a lead, so you've got a bit of control. And it's just repetition. And if you're still struggling, I would recommend either calling your local dog trainer or your local clinic or making an appointment with your vet to just discuss it a bit further. But it's just taking it back to basics. There's nothing mind-blowing behind it, unfortunately, Kevin, just time and effort.
He's got a mind of his own, this one, I tell you.
They often do, those little Daxies.
Yeah. Is it quite safe to use a choker chain for obedience training with them?
It's not something we'd recommend these days, Kevin. There's lots more successful ways of doing it that you'll get a much better response much more quickly.
Is that like a come-along muzzle, is it?
Sorry?
Is that like a come-along muzzle that you'd use for that?
You shouldn't be needing muzzle training for what you've suggested so far.
Yeah, if he gets away, he just darts straight across the road. He's got away on the granddaughter a couple of times, and I thought, and I'm trying to obedient train him, but I haven't gone to a choker chain at this stage.
There are harnesses, there are different sort of harnesses you can get from your pet shop, and a lot of them, if you take him in with you, they'll let you try them on while he's there. So that's sort of, I would suggest, might be a helpful place to start.
And we've got Peter on the line from Valentine. Hi, Peter. You want to talk about the new flea treatment?
Yeah, I was interested in your comment regarding, it's a lower dose. I currently use the Bravecto 6 months in spot on.
Yes.
And to be honest, it disturbs me a little bit, the amount of stuff we actually pop into our dogs, the heartworm, the heart treatment and the tick and flea treatments and stuff. So I only use the spot on over the tick season.
Okay.
Because in all honesty, I don't really like putting anything on them because, there's so much cancer in dogs and it just sort of, I just need a bit of clarification. The fact that it was a lower dose seemed to be a better option.
Appeal to you. Yeah, so the research that's been done, so the dose that we use for the injection, now don't quote me on this, Peter, I haven't got the stats in front of me, but it's something like a quarter of the dose in terms of concentration that we give as the injection. So yes, as a dose, as a concentration or a milligrams per kilogram dose, it is significantly less in the injection as opposed to the spot on and the chewable tablet. So it might be something that for that reason alone is appealing to you. Very effective, very safe product. And most of the research has actually been done in Australia because we have the paralysis tick issue here.
Right. So could I get a 6 monthly dose of the injection just to cover the tick season? Because that's the biggest worry.
So it's a product that lasts... It lasts for 12 months. So a six-monthly injection doesn't exist.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. I was just sort of tweaking my brain. It's the fact that there was a lower dose.
Yeah.
That sort of impresses me ultimately, because, as I said, there's so much stuff goes into our dogs and I try and keep everything natural and all this stuff is a bit... chemically, it just doesn't sort of sit well with me. So the least I can put into them and get the results, the better for me.
Yeah, so look, sounds like it might be something you're interested, Peter. So definitely have a chat to your local vet. Most vets, to my knowledge, are stocking it because we're all super excited about it. So give them a call and by all means make an appointment if it's something that you're interested in.
Okay, good luck with that, Peter. We've got Terry on the line from Swansea. Terry, you've got a little staffy that gets snippy with other dogs.
Yes.
Tell me more, Terry.
She's 4 years old now, but she's a good-natured dog, as most of them are. But sometimes she'll be okay with a dog, but then she gets a little bit, I guess, dominant, and she sort of has a bit of a snip and a snarl. Like, she doesn't bite as such, and it sounds probably worse than what it is, but people, how they feel about staffies at times, they get a bit scared by it at all. I don't let it go, of course. It's usually when she's on a lead or something. So I don't know whether there's anything,
possibly you could do to maybe get that out of her, training, some any sort of training, so to speak?
Yeah, sure, Terry. And look, to start with, firstly, it sounds like you're being responsible. You know, you're keeping her on the lead. Trying to keep her out of situations that can upset her. Is it on the lead, or does she do sort of any off-lead at dog parks? Or?
Yeah, even, well, off-leads. I've got a friend, he's got a boxer dog, and he brings that around sometimes, and we let him go out the backyard, and she just terrorises the boxer, as in she's sort of, sounds like they're fighting, but they're growling and sort of playing, but it sounds aggressive.
Okay.
You didn't know, you'd think they were attacking each other, but, and the other dog eventually just gets probably sick of her chasing him around and sort of probably snipping at him. Like I said, I don't know whether it's a domination or something, you know, trying to be dominant or what, but yeah, so it's not just on the lead, and sometimes we'll take it to the pet motel when we go away, and they tend not to let her play with other dogs.
Okay.
Because she probably, I'll be guessing, they don't actually tell you, but I'll be guessing, well, they sort of hinted that she gets a little bit sort of over-playful.
Okay.
Word, I guess, yeah.
So. Look, there's a couple of things there that you've said that arguably are fairly common scenarios. So Staffies as a breed are super exuberant and, you know, love attention and love playing, and they're very full on, you know, it's all or nothing.
Correct.
With a Staffie.
Yep. Absolutely.
You combine that with another Staffie characteristic of not always being brilliant with other dogs. So what can happen is that they're full on, and the other dog's like, look, I've had enough, just back off.
Yep.
So they're saying to her, okay, you need to back off, and she's then instantaneously amplifying it into, you know, okay, let's go sort of thing. So I think 100% that's a situation that a good dog trainer could help you with, Terry. So I'd recommend by all means having a chat to your local vet or giving your local dog trainer a call and getting some training situations and scenarios and tips. But yeah, best of luck with that, Terry.
Yeah, good luck, Terry. Okay, next on the line we have Jill from East Maitland. Hi, you got a bird question, Jill?
Well, I actually wasn't sure whether to ask you or to ask the gardening people, but it's mainly it's because of the bird feeder I've got. Is underneath a cotoneaster tree with the red berries, and the berries fall in the bird feeder, and I just don't know whether they're poisonous or not.
Okay.
Look, Jill, yeah. I will be totally 100% honest with you and say I have no idea.
So
what I would recommend, there's a couple of really great bird vets in Newcastle, and I would be giving them a call if you're worried.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one is Edgeworth Vets, and and the second one slipped my mind. Sugarloaf Animal Hospital. So there's two in Newcastle, both of which I would suggest could answer your question much more capably than me.
And if you don't have any luck, yeah,
try gardening.
Judy Sharp a call on Monday afternoon.
Okay, good on you, Jill.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jill.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Okay, we've got Rose from Shawl Bay. Rose, you've got a 10-year-old miniature foxy developing hard lumps on her back.
They're just tiny little hard, one of them's ruptured, and it tends to just have developed a crusty sort of ooze.
Yeah.
I just wondered whether I should take it to the vet and maybe have the other ones ruptured. There's about four or five of them.
Okay.
I did a Dr. Google on
it,
and it did suggest that they're perhaps sebaceous cysts because she's 10 years old.
You got it in one, Rose. That's what I reckon they are based on the phone call. And I highly recommend you go and get one of your local vets to check it out. Whether we use topical treatment, whether she needs medication, or whether they discuss surgery with you, they're all possibilities without having seen her. But, yeah, if in doubt, particularly if she's got a couple of them, I would highly recommend you go and get them checked out, and that way you know what you're dealing with a bit more.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks for your call, Rose.
Good luck with that. Bye. Rose. This is Pet Chat. Now, Dr. Fiona, you want to talk about flea treatments and
tick. Yes, yes. So there's a really exciting new product out that we have at our disposal. It's just for dogs at this stage. It's a once a year injection that will protect for fleas and ticks for a whole 12 months.
Ooh.
So really exciting to have this at our disposal.
Did you just say that's just for dogs or for cats?
Correct, just for dogs.
One for my cat.
Hold fire. We don't, you know, if we're lucky, there'll be something out soon. But yeah, so just for dogs, which protects against fleas and ticks, which in Newcastle is a massive deal. We see a lot of tick paralysis in the warmer months. And whilst we have a lot of monthly or three monthly products out there for us, if you're even a couple of days late with one of those products in summer, that can be enough for your dog to have a tick attach and to get tick paralysis.
Really? So it's just knows exactly when the time's up.
Yes, yeah. So if you're the type of person that maybe forgets your monthly chew for your dog or thinks, oh, did hubby give it or did I give it? I can't remember. Did they spit it out? Maybe they vomited it up with dinner. Oh, I think I gave it last week. I can't quite remember. This may well be the product for you. Mm-hmm. So super exciting that we've got it. I think for a lot of people it would be convenient to tie it in with their annual checkup and vaccination. So super exciting. So paralysis tick for 12 months. It does fleas for 12 months and brown dog tick as well. It does for 11 months, but that's not super big concern for us in Newcastle. Really, it's the paralysis tick that's the big one.
People just ask their vet or can they just buy it at, you know, a pet shop?
Good question. It is a vet-only product.
Right.
So it needs to be given based on weight. So part of the annual checkup obviously will be making, you know, checking your dog's weight and giving the injection, which is once a year. So it's a slow release product. So really exciting that we've got it, we've got it available for us, from 6 months of age. So, dogs out there, once they're over 6 months of age, can get this product and protect them from now. I mean, it's just phenomenal to think we've got a product we could give now in August and the dog's going to be protected until August next year. It's really exciting.
That's awesome. Well, you heard it first on 2NURFM.
Yeah, so it's called Bravecto Quantum. And Bravecto is a product itself that's been out for the last 10 years.
Bravecto's great.
Yeah, so it's a name people know and trust in the veterinary profession. We think it's great. So now we've just got something that lasts longer, which is really exciting.
Excellent. Thank you. Debbie's on the line. Debbie from Cessnock. Hello.
Hello.
How can we help, Debbie?
I've got a King Charles Spaniel and yes. I've just had a weekend from hell. He had an abscess on his anal gland.
Yes.
Now, the vet lanced it. It cost me a fortune.
Oh.
At the risk of sounding like a skinflint, is there some way that I could learn to check his anal glands or is that not feasible?
It absolutely is, Debbie. Without putting a dampener on it for you, in 19 years I haven't successfully managed to teach a client how to do it. So, yes, it is. Technically, it is possible to teach an owner to do it. Yeah. Definitely it's a hands-on type lesson, some gloves in there as well. And maybe the next time your dog needs to go in, ask the vet or the nurse to talk you through it and explain what it is we're trying to do, because it can be a really problematic thing, dogs in that anal sacs, particularly if the ducts block, which is very possibly what happened in your case.
So yes,
it is possible, and yes, it is absolutely worth a shot trying to learn in case you're the one that can do it.
Yeah, well, I said to him, how do I prevent this happening again? And he said, well, you've got to get it checked every couple of months. And we're only pensioners. And I thought, oh, I can't afford that every couple of months. So, maybe I can learn to do it myself. So,
yeah, 100%. Yeah. The other thing that also you can have a chat is at some clinics they will do, rather than a full consultation, there's a differently priced visit, which is just for expressing anal sacs.
Oh, okay.
So maybe not all practices will do that, but that might be something to have a chat, whether that's something that your vet could help you with.
Okay, good luck with that, Debbie. Next on the line we have Ian from Stockton. Ian, you've got a medication question.
Yes, the new flea and tick treatment, does it also do heartworm?
Great question, Ian. No, it does not. So what I would recommend for people that are interested in the once-a-year flea and tick injection, there is also a once-a-year heartworm injection. So a lot of people are coming in once a year for their annual vaccination, their annual heartworm injection, their annual flea and tick injection, and then the only other thing people need to do through the year is an intestinal worming tablet. So the reason it doesn't do heartworm is because the product, the Fluralena, which is what's in Bravecto, does not treat heartworm.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks very much, Ian. All right. So we have to pick our winner for the Dozer and Co. voucher.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to give it to Terry with the Snippy Staffy.
Yeah. So lots of amazing calls today. It's been fantastic.
It has been. All right. And we have to still got to do Pet of the Week.
Yeah.
We've got Pudding.
Yes, Pudding is a very cute little female domestic short grey and white cat, 16 months old, on the quiet side, the shy side, I think, but would be just a perfect hot water bottle on your lap or on your bed. So she's very cute, but probably not suitable for a loud house or a house with kids.
Okay, and we've got Cooper.
Cooper, poor thing, had a rough start in life. He's a big boy, Labrador cross mastiff of some kind, mm-hmm. So super big but just adorable. Looks like he's got a heart of gold, would love to be involved in a family, family environment, kids, fun, play, lots of great stuff. So some good pets there.
Yeah, we've got some great pets and it has been a fast show.
Fantastic. Bring it on.
Thank you so much. Fiona, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Amanda.
On Pet Chat.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.